episode of Pioneers and Pretenders. I'm your host today, Julian Green. Today we've got Joe on the other side of the mic.
Hey, man.
I'm going to be interviewing Joe today. Today we're going to be having a conversation with Joe, going beyond the bio. So not just looking at Joe Human, the social media figure, but understanding him as a person a bit more and getting to know him a bit better. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. It's a beautiful Thursday afternoon, I guess. Well, it's we're getting there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite sunny outside. Quite hot. And yeah, man, I'm having a pretty relaxed day. I think there's just been so much going on in the world, and you sort of just cave in and really just like go back to the drawing board, try and figure out what's your next move.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day. I'm about to have a beautiful conversation about everything, Joe. Joe, we've met a couple of times before. Haven't really delved into everything about you, but we just want to find out a little bit about your background. I'm aware that you originally from the DRC.
Yeah.
You and your family moved here to South Africa. Tell us a little bit more about your experiences growing up in South Africa.
Man, really just like very humble beginnings, you know. Didn't come from a family that had it all. My dad used to be the head pharmacist for the president back at the time, Mobutu. And yeah, like just really grew up with as much as we could, not really everything, but I think at some extent we felt quite privileged, because you know, you just like had a roof over your head, and you know, you were able to get food and stuff like that. And after the president sort of was removed from office, we also just like the country was not safe for us. And we had to just leave. But before that, my dad actually had a calling, and God wanted him to go into the ministry. Asked him, hey, you're not going to heal my people with medicine, but with my word. He fought this for quite a while until eventually he just, you know, gave up. We left the Congo. We moved to Zambia for like a year or so. And my dad relocated to Cape Town first, and then moved to Joburg. Then he was able to sort of like just bring us through. But this is someone who does not have a job. You know, he's a security guard for some time. And we get to Joburg. We are crashing in like in a one room with a friend of his, and he's got a family as well. It just becomes very difficult to, you know, fend for yourself. And I remember him just always waking up early in the morning, going to downtown Joburg, picking up, you know, anything that he could find that the street vendors might have dropped the day before. And that was like our groceries for months, you know. But just like being able to see him sort of just go out there and not have anything, but come back with something, you know, to build something, to like take care of his family, that instilled a very strong determination in me. Just being that young and seeing someone make something out of nothing.
With those experiences, I know those are very humbling experiences for you and your family, especially with the transition moving across to South Africa for you guys. I know, looking at Joe from outside, you see the social media fame, you see the celebrity that we see, but at the same time, you come across as a very humble person. Aside from all of the success that you've had so far, all of the accolades, when I meet you, you're one of the most genuine people I've come across. You're easy to get along with. There are no, if I could use a cliche term, airs and graces when I do meet you. Those experiences for me, when I now that you've spoken about it, seems to have rooted you deeply. And then you also mentioned your dad being a pastor.
Yeah.
So those Christian roots as well would have helped solidify you when you were younger. I know in a previous conversation we had, you spoke about your fashion influence coming from your experiences in the church. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Look, man, I've always enjoyed sharing the story because it's growing up in the church has been one of my most loved experiences. And you know, when you're a young kid, right, your parents dress you according to what they want. You know, you don't have a fashion sense, you depend on them. And just like being like a pastor's kid, you are always dressed in a suit, you're always well looked after, you know, you're always clean. And I remember, like, because my mom was such a public servant, so every Sunday after church, she would just, you know, start cooking. Like, people would literally come to my house, line up, and they would just sit there, and they know that my mom was just out there making dishes, feeding everyone. And like, if you come to Congolese Church, you know that, like, we dress up for church. You know, like, we really dress up. We put in the effort. So just being able to see people like that, you know, always looking clean, you know, suit, tie, you know, put your hat on after church. That started influencing a lot of like my personal style and sort of like the things that I was exposed to, because those people behave like gentlemen. And you start learning and picking up all these things. Now, okay, cool. This is how a guy should behave. This is how a guy should dress. Always look clean, you know, good shoes, nice tailored pants, you know, clean white shirt. And these things sort of become like a part of your identity as you grow up. And when you find yourself, you start molding those things, and you start defining those things better to suit who you are, right? So if, let's say, your dad would wear pants, but they were probably like bootleg pants that would go over his shoes, you know, you growing up, you're like, I will take that style, but I want my pants to be tapered, you know, I want them to be just above the ankles. So you start tailoring that fashion sense and all those things you are exposed to kind of suit who you are and your personality and like the style that you want for yourself.
The name Joe Human, how did that come about?
Ooh, so again, growing up in the church, I think conditions you to almost see people that are not believers in what you believe in as people that you should never really like mingle with or engage with, right? And it's not through the word or the preaching, it's just how you are conditioned, because hey, I need to be around people that believe in the same thing as me, which is great, because the Bible does say that two people cannot be in agreement, two people cannot, you know, walk the same path if they're not in agreement, right? So just being a creative and being very young and coming into the creative industry, I got to meet people from all walks of life, right? People that don't believe in what I believe in, people that have different sexual preferences, people that are not like the same race as me, but you're still able to like connect with those people because they just want to create. They're passionate about something that you're passionate about, just to build really cool things, right? And I realized that, like, before race, before sex, before like preferences and like language and cultures, we are really all just human beings at the core. You know, we all want love. We all want to be loved. And we react to things the same. Like if let's say a fire had to start in this room right now, you and I, our first instinct would be to find safety or to put it off, right? We would react the same. So I wanted to just embody and build a brand that is really just for the human being at the core. So everything I create, everything I design, products, how I engage with people, I'm very cognizant of the fact that before Julian is who he is, he's a human being first, right? And I need to respect that, and I need to love that, and I need to sort of approach him from that aspect and not look at all the other things that make up or make him different from me.
Okay. So we'll peel a few more layers away. Yeah? Previously, a lot of our engagements come from Twitter. And the reason why I say beyond the bio for this, a lot of people look at a bio on your social media and look at how you would then brand yourself or describe yourself. Previously, I've seen descriptions like creative connoisseur or head connoisseur, creative consultant. You've got something now that I have no idea what it means. Could you enlighten me?
It's actually in my home language, French. It says simpler mais significant. And
what does that mean?
That just means simple but significant. I think it's a thought and it's an ethos that I've come around in the last couple of months of just really rediscovering myself. And I think those two words, simplicity but significance, have really struck me, and I've seen how this new discovery has always lived in my work, has always lived in my truth. So I just put down all of those titles and my accolades, and I'm like, I think this is just the one thing that people should know about me. If you want more, my website is there where you can see all the other stuff that I've been able to do. But also just from that perspective, I just want to like build and create simple but significant work, you know, and I want that to speak out more than anything. Like, me also doing that is just like almost resetting myself and saying, cool, I was on the Forbes list, or I won GQ's best dressed, whatever. I've put that aside. Like, what is the way forward now? Like, those things are great. And I'm grateful to, you know, to have, acquired them. But, right now where I am, they mean nothing to me because I want to improve. I want to, you know, build further. I want to, like, you know, have an empire of this new brand that I'm actually working on, Joe Human. So for me, like right now, it's almost like a fresh start and say, I've seen how far I've come and it's great, but now like there's a new journey that I need to take, and the ethos and everything that embodies that is just to keep it simple, but just make sure that it's significant.
Cool. We see you influential in spaces like social media, in the design space. What are the influences that have, or what has influenced you throughout your life? Whether it be from a design aspect, career-wise, you're still fairly young, but you've achieved such a lot. Influences in those spaces, and possibly even from like a mentorship side, what are the three most important influences that have shaped who Joe Human has become?
I think, again, just the first big one is just home, right? It's we as Africans, we've got so much flair, we've got so much culture and heritage, creativity. You know, if you have to come down to my country, you'll be able to see this. You're able to see just how young creatives are really pushing the limits with limited resources. And if you have to see, like, you know, the patterns to our clothing, you know, the way we compose our music, and just the culture down there is so lively. So that's definitely one, like, just my background and where I come from. I think the second biggest influence is obviously church. I mean, it's influenced my spirituality. I think that's almost been a blessing for me, because I totally believe that if you really want to create meaningful work, you have to be in touch with yourself. You have to be in touch, you know, and just like be self-aware of who you are, what you want to create. And I think, you know, in my life, God has been able to help me, get to that point where I understand, you know, like, what is my purpose? And how to actually execute that and all the plans that he has for me as well. And I think the third thing is just like the people that I keep around me. I'm very selective with the people that I converse with. I'm very selective with the friends that I keep, you know, the relationships that I get into, because those people subconsciously influence your decisions and your life as well. So I've just been very intentional about the people that I keep around me, the content that I also consume, because essentially you are the content you consume, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not. If you constantly see something all the time, you are prone to consume it, to believe it, to want to engage it. And I think for me, those has been like the three biggest things. My background, the church, obviously God, and just the people that I've been able to connect with.
So you mentioned purpose, and I can tell that you're very intentional in everything that you do and the way you approach stuff. You've spoken about those individual influences, but who are the three most influential people in your life that have helped guide you?
Wow. First, again, God. my dad, obviously, you know, as I was saying earlier, that he instilled, I believe, a lot of the entrepreneurial qualities that I have in me, because he was just able to, you know, make something out of nothing and really just fight for his family. He went out there and he hustled, you know, he built stuff. Like, he's got ministries now. We've got one in France, we've got one here in SA, in the Congo, Angola. So all of that came from nothing. All of that came from taking a leap of faith and just leaving his home country with his family, you know, going to a completely foreign land and saying, I will make something out of myself. So I definitely believe that I take a lot of those qualities from him. And I think the third person, or people I'd rather say, that really play a big role, again, are the people that I keep around me. I call everyone that is around me my mentors, because I'm always learning from people. You know, I learn stuff from you, Julian. I learn stuff from Mash. I learn stuff from everyone that I engage with and I see. Even when you're not directly teaching it to me, or we're not directly having a conversation, it might be a tweet that you put out, it might be content that you put out, and I consume that and I find ways for it to make sense in what I'm doing or the phase that I'm in. So those are the three big influences for me.
Okay. Let's talk about your beginnings in business with C Mindspace. How did that come about?
Crazy, quite big retail brand in SA. And we were running the social media. It just got to a point where we just felt like we were not valued. So we tried to renegotiate our salaries, and the boss's older brother was like, no, we pay you guys enough. Like, why do you, you know? And then, yeah, we literally said, look, dude, let's resign like tomorrow. And that's what we did. We started Creative Mind Space, and the purpose of it was to create brands that are purposeful, and brands who actually understand and own their narrative, because we've seen a lot of people from different lands, you know, come into Africa and consume us and consume our experiences and content and have a completely different narrative to what it actually is. Or, you know, they take stuff and they redesign it and sell it back to us, and we purchase it. And we said, why can't we make those luxury brands ourselves? You know, why can't we tell those narratives and these beautiful stories ourselves? We are so filled with so much, and we experience this every day to a point where it's become a norm, you know, for another person to come down into Africa and maybe like find then the Ndebele print, they'll be like so amazed, like, wow, these patterns. But we see it every day to a point where it's just another African print to us, right? But we are not telling these narratives and these stories. And that's why you see brands like your Tepo Jeans and your Matosa really doing like big things, you know, making big strides, especially overseas, because they consume our content the most. So let's actually start an agency that wants to tell authentic African stories and own that and make it luxurious and make it beautiful, you know, and make it global. So that's where it started obviously it was difficult. Like we started on Facebook. You know, we didn't have capital. We just had laptops. We started on Facebook. We had made a few friends, working at our old company, and we told them, hey guys, this is what we're doing now. This is our business. And we started having our first few clients from there. A lot of the stuff we learned, like over YouTube and just consuming Google content. So we'd like sell a dream. Client pays us, then we could Google how to actually make that dream come true. So those were just like the humble beginnings of Creative Mindspace. And yeah, like we want to build the biggest creative agency in Africa. And I think Creative Mindspace in its own is exactly that, like just building a space that is filled with creatives. So you could be a chef, you could be a writer, you know, you could be a poet, you could be an architect. Like you want to just walk into Creative Mindspace and be able to find all those people that are working together for one main goal. That's to tell beautiful African stories.
I love that. Africa is the coolest place in the world right now.
Bro.
In there was a little nugget where you spoke about finding an opportunity to win. So you would Google to find the answer. You are self-taught in a lot of the things that you do. And you are a curious person at nature, right? You go out and find those answers.
Very.
At the same time, you're a teacher because you share the knowledge. We just spoke before we locked in into the studio. We spoke about how you use Twitter Spaces at the moment to share knowledge and connect with other creatives, especially up and coming creatives who can learn from your experiences. What's one of the things that you wish you had known in the beginning of your journey that you would like to share, or in terms of adding value to a young independent creative who's trying to build a business, trying to build a brand or personal brand? What is one important piece of information that you had, that you wish you had known at the time, that you can share with them now?
There's a lot, but I think the biggest one for me is it's going to take time. It really is going to take time. I think we are a generation that wants instant validation. You know, we want everything right now. We want to pop right now. We want to win right now. I want to get those likes and those retweets right now. And when that does not happen, you start doubting yourself. You start feeling like, you know, you're inadequate. You start feeling like what you're doing is not meaningful enough because people are not, you know, recognizing it, or you're not monetizing it as quick as you had imagined. And you start doubting your skill, right? So I think for me, that's like one thing I wish, I knew. And when I started my journey in the creative space and just in business, I wish that was really instilled in me, just to know that you are going to fail. You are going to encounter hiccups. Things won't always go as you imagine them to be, but, just keep on pushing, you know, keep on, going, because a lot of people experience these things and they give up. And not everyone will be like a Joe who is just resilient and he just keeps on pushing no matter what. Some people will feel like it's the end of the road for them. But, you know, just being able to know that there's other people out there who have sort of experienced the same thing as you have and look at where they are right now, that means that you can also achieve sort of like the same thing. And I think just going into business or starting your journey or pursuing your dreams, knowing that you are going to like encounter hiccups, as much as it might not take those hiccups away, you sort of have a surety that these things do happen. I just have to keep going instead of just going into it blindfolded, not really knowing what to expect.
On the other side of the coin of being a teacher, you have to put yourself out there. And I've seen you do Instagram Lives, Twitter Spaces. You're on Twitter giving away information, connecting with people. You're on Instagram. How do you deal with accessibility too? Because I'm pretty sure that at times people will cross the line, or there's people that are just hounding you in your DMs. How do you balance all of that out? Being overly accessible to people and sharing that knowledge and value, but also being able to mind your own space and focus on your brand and your business.
I think, Julian, when I first started, I wasn't in the space that I am right now, and I'll just tell you what that is. So when I first started, it was really like social media was almost my be all, right? And I put myself out there at every chance I got, and I gave away as much as I could energy. You know, I would respond to like 30, 40 DMs a day, you know, 10, 15 emails a day, and people just asking for information, asking for help, asking, you know, how do I do this? How do I get there? And what that did is it sort of disconnected me from the physical world, like the people on the ground, you know, my friends and family, people that really needed my attention and my love, because all my energy would be given to strangers, right? And I mean that in the nicest of ways, because I love my community. I love the people that I'm able to engage with. But I gave them so much of my time and my energy, that it took away from my real life. And, I think one thing I've learned throughout this process is just being disciplined, like being disciplined enough to say, cool, I'm going to do this thread. I'm going to put it out. I know on average it's going to get this much engagement, this much people might respond. I put it out there and I shut off and I say, I'll come back tomorrow for an hour and I'll make sure that I respond to everyone. I'll come back tomorrow for an hour and just respond to as many DMs as I can, you know? So it's really just discipline, because a lot of the work I do requires me to be online, you know, to stay digital. So I can never really move or shy away from that. But it's just discipline, you know, knowing what to prioritize when, and that's how I've been, you know, balancing it out.
Got a few more questions for you. And we know that the listeners out there, like there are a lot of young business people, creatives out there listening. If you could leave them with three gems or pieces of advice for anybody wanting to follow in your footsteps, what would those be?
Find your purpose. I think everyone says this, and it probably sounds very cliche right now, or we sound like a broken record, but you really have to know who you are. Like you have to find your why. Like, why are you doing what you're doing? You have to be able to question yourself. You have to be able to question your every move, even if it's a fuck up. Like, you have to be able to question it and understand where that's coming from, and be very intentional about what you do. Because when there's intentionality, then there is a main goal. Like, you have a clear mind, and even though distractions may come, you sort of know what path you have to stay on. So find your purpose, find why you exist and what you're meant to do. The second thing is just like, be consistent, you know, don't like give up, especially now in a digital space where we're always consuming content all the time. You know, you go on Twitter now, and if you reload your feed, there's probably like 15, 30, 50 tweets that would pop up right now. And everyone is trying to grab at attention. Everyone's trying to say something. Everyone's trying to be noticed. So if you're not consistent with your purposeful content or your work, you will just fall into the noise, because people will easily forget you, right? And the third one is just be patient. Just going back to what I said earlier, like, it takes time. Every single thing takes time. You know, I was watching an interview with I think it was Vusi, and he said something so powerful. He said, the first time you do something is the first time that you're bad at it, right? I remember when I recorded my first podcast, and you guys can actually go back and listen to my first episode, it does not sound as clear as this. It doesn't sound as good as this, right? Even the insights might not even be as great at this. The editing might not be as great at this. And that was the first time I was really bad at something. But now I'm on like episode, I don't know, 20 or 15, you know. And it really just took being patient and being consistent and being purposeful, you know, continuously just putting the work out. And beyond that, being patient, just going back to the drawing board and iterating your work. I'm a firm believer in you're only as good as your last job. So everything I do, like the last logo I did, my next client, I need to top that. You know, the last website I did, I need to top that. I need to improve. I need to upskill myself. I need to learn something that just makes me better, makes me, you know, a little bit just much more awesome than the previous project. So even when you are being patient, know that you have to like upskill yourself and just keep iterating your work.
True. Things do take time. And you mentioned consistency and patience. And somewhere in between there, you've also, somebody's also has to have curiosity, which I think is a key trait. You got to be curious in terms of going out and finding the answers, looking for people that may be doing work better than you,
yeah,
that you can aspire to and benchmark from. And in terms of doing that, you need to be have a self-starter mode of work when you're applying yourself there. Definitely. And going out and looking for those answers. What are some of the best resources that have helped you along the way that you have found?
Ooh, so I think I've been asked this quite a few times, and the one time I actually got asked what books I read, and I was like, I actually don't read books that much. And it's just, I consume a lot of articles. So I work better with visual content more than anything. So I watch a lot of like, TED Talks. I watch a lot of, the stuff that's on the future by Chris Doe. I watch a lot of, there's a Netflix show called Abstract, and they just document like amazing creatives, like mind blowing creatives. I read a lot of articles on design, even tech sometimes, because it all ties back into like digital and like what are some of the tools that are pretty much like, you know, being developed to help creators, or influencers, you know, or entrepreneurs. So that for me, I would say, is like my library of like, resources. So Abstract on Netflix, if you have Netflix, go check it out. Amazing, amazing show. There's a YouTube channel called The Future. So it's The and then FUTR. And, there's amazing creatives there. They teach you like so much around design, you know, marketing, brand building as well. And, just articles, you know, following like, amazing people like Matt Navarra, who's a great social media strategist, and he's got a weekly newsletter that he puts out, and you get so much insight from that. You always know what's happening in the digital space from him. So that for me is like the content that I really consume that helps me, to just stay on top of my game.
Yeah. On the Matt Navarro one, there's also an incredible, Facebook group that he's got called the Social Media Geek Out. That's also a really useful resource. Love the Abstract stuff on Netflix, the episode of Platon, the Topography episode, the Tinker Hatfield episode.
I love the one with Tinker. It was amazing.
Joe, I want to wrap up with one last question for you. If you could step into my shoes for a second, what would you have asked yourself that I didn't?
Ooh.
And then I'm going to ask you to answer that question.
Wow. Okay. I think I'd ask myself, do you believe that the person you're in a relationship with affects your creativity and your work? Right. I think that's one thing I'd ask myself, because we are constantly building stuff, you know, and we're always speaking about these things, but no one's ever really speaking about how like your love life and like your relationship could temper with what you're building, or even like, you know, take that completely to the next level. And now I'm going to answer myself, and I think it's a big yes, especially because we are creatives. We feel everything, right? We feel everything. And if I'm having a bad day with my partner, it's going to reflect into my work, right? And you also want someone who understands you and someone who is able to add value to what you're building. And ladies, I'm not saying that you should build a man or the other way around. But I'm saying someone who understands, you know, like who Joe is and sees the gray area and maybe where his weakness is or where he's not doing so well, or just, it could be a piece of advice, you know, once in a while, like, hey, Julian, actually, I think you should shoot this content this way. It's better this way, right? It's better lighting. No, put your hand here, or let's place this at the center. So someone who just adds value to you and your work and your life in ways that don't require so much from them, I think it's so key, because you could either succeed or you could fail depending on where your heart is.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks. So it's been great catching up with you again. I'll save some of the tougher questions for the next time we chop it up.
Thank you so much. And to everyone that's listening, this might actually be quite some sad news, but this is my last episode on Pioneers versus Pretenders. I am moving on to something else. And yeah, it's been a great journey. I've had the opportunity to speak to amazing people, you know, really have them share like amazing insights. And I'm so grateful that I could be able to do this one with you, Julian, because I think it's just beautiful to be able to have a conversation like this and just like be behind the mic. Yeah, but I would love to just wish Pioneers versus Pretenders an amazing journey forward, to, you know, who the new host will be, and to all the listeners as well. Just stay tuned to Lucha and stay tuned to the podcast. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Wish you all the best with everything that you do in the future.
Thank you, bro.
This has been Beyond the Bio with Joe the Human, signing off from Julian Green. Ciao.
Ciao.